Hello and welcome to another edition of the Guardian ID podcast. I'm Zach Martin, editor of the Guardian ID magazine. Today we're speaking with Nico Popp, vice president for VeriSign's innovation group. VeriSign is one of a handful of companies that announced a partnership with the government that will enable individuals to use technology to better access and control information on government websites. But before we delve in, first a word from our sponsor.
Picture a unique identity. Imagine that identity turning into one unique credential. Envision using that credential to enter facilities and log on to networks and applications. Diebold's Credential One solution mitigates the complexity and risks of managing multiple identities. Think one credential, multiple uses. Think Diebold Credential One. To learn more, visit www.credentialone.com.
VeriSign, Yahoo, PayPal, Google, Equifax, AOL, Axiom, Citi, Prevo, and Wave Systems are the companies that announced their involvement with the project, a who's who of web companies. These companies will act as digital identity providers using OpenID and information card technologies. The pilot programs are being conducted by the Center for Information Technology, the National Institution of Health, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and related agencies. The participating companies are being certified under open trust frameworks developed under collaboration between the OpenID Foundation and the Information Card Foundation, and then reviewed by the federal government. Thanks for joining us today, Nico.
Thank you for having me on the show. Very excited to share our thoughts here.
Great. Nico, if we can kind of start out by telling me how this is going to impact your everyday citizen. What's this going to enable them to do that they couldn't do before?
Okay, a great question. Let me start by putting it into the broader context, the context of the Obama administration and the context of being, Nico as a mere citizen. What does it mean to me? So I think you have to go way back to the Obama's mandate for a more open government, a more participative government. What I think is fascinating here is that it is clear that this administration sees the web, sees the internet really as an important medium for participation. So I think the clear intent here is to enable all the government websites to unleash the government data to enable citizens like you and me to really to get involved with the larger issues, the issues of healthcare, the issue of energy, the issue of education, and to leverage, the web, the website from the government. Clearly, you have to deal with identity. You have to enable people to come in, to comment, to agree on things, to debate issues, and that's really what is trying to be achieved here by enabling people to use their everyday's identity on these government websites. So that's kind of the high level, right? It's an intent. It's this concept of open government, open participation on civic issues by using distributed identity. Now, concretely, what does it mean? I think Chris Messina actually had a couple of good examples on that. So one of the websites that is going to be part of the pilot is the National Health Institute website. So what can you do on that website? So imagine that you just discovered that you had a disease such as cancer and you want to start doing some research. You may want to start doing some research, at work. You'd like to save some of these results, under your own account. You don't want to register there, right? You don't want to create a new profile. You don't want to create a new name and password. So you want to be able to reuse your OpenID, maybe your Yahoo OpenID, your VeriSign OpenID, your Google OpenID. And then you want to go home and continue the search and over time, add more information. Maybe you want to ask questions, within one of the fora to other people that have had such disease and understand the type of treatment they followed. And maybe you want to keep your anonymity. Most likely you want to be anonymous in that process, yet you want to interact. So the idea of being able to interact with all these government resources, all these government websites, while keeping your anonymity, and reusing, not having to create new credential, not having to to register again, that concept of convenience is really at the center of the discussion. So that's one example. And another example for me is I'm an avid sailor, and that's because this is at the government level. But you can see how this can really go from the government to the state, as well to the to the cities. There's a clear intent here to have a pilot, learn from the pilot, and then generalize from the pilot across all the properties. So, you know, so the other example for me, for me on the weekend, I love sailing. You know, I love going to Angel Island. You know, I may want to reserve a mooring or a campsite for the kids. I don't want to register with the Angel Island website, right? I don't want to create another identity. So the ability to use my OpenID to do that, you know, in within a few clicks is all about convenience. And again, that ability to interact. So I think in terms of this is really what it means for, you know, everyday Joe, is that ability of interact with government websites and then really take advantage of these resources that are out there.
It's more of a convenience factor at this point, not necessarily a true, you know, identification aspect or like a transaction kind of basis.
Indeed, but I think you, again, you have to put it, if you want to put it in the broader context, my understanding, you know, yesterday actually we were in Washington, D.C., and we had the opportunity to make Vivek Kundrai, the Obama CIO, and ask him this type of question. I think what's very exciting is that there is a deep understanding from the CIO office level that identity is foundational. And it's a foundation for many of the key mandates they have, the key goals they want to accomplish. So you can look at identity first the way I described it, which is enablement for participation, enablement to unleash the resources. And that's kind of level one. And that first level is really an opportunity to learn and, first of all, to train users. You know, users like you and me, we are savvy, we understand OpenID, but non-technical users don't know today that they can actually start using the identity that they have at one provider across multiple websites.
Right.
So the first intent there, I think, for them is to train the user around something which is fairly seamless and, you know, so around through convenience, if you want, and participation and anonymity, right? Because there's a lot of concern, you know, there's a lot of learning to do about privacy and trust framework and security. So now, having said that, the intent is to go much beyond that. Again, mm-hmm. because if you're looking at other issues, right, so things like healthcare. There was a great speech yesterday. I don't know if you had the chance to listen on CNN, but it is clear that the new healthcare initiative will require cutting costs somewhere.
Right.
And there's a lot of hopes like that electronic health records, for example, will be a powerful mechanism to reduce these costs. Now, how do you make healthcare electronic healthcare records work without identity? You know, it's a very complex ecosystem. I have to interact with my doctor, my physician, my hospital, the pharmacy, the lab, the insurance. Again, it's all about identity, the ability to log across all these resources. But in that case, you know, I want it to be much more private. I want it to be much more secure. So you can see that from the learning of low-level assurance, the learning of the sharing, now you have a transition path to deal with higher value identity, to do this kind of enablement, right? And stop, you know, using identity as a way to reduce costs. And another example around cost reduction, which is clearly another intent over time, would be, you know, I don't think the government wants to have, you know, they have many websites, they have many agencies, they have many states, they have many cities that have websites. They don't want them to replicate identity system. It doesn't make sense from a cost standpoint. They also deal with multiple external contractors and so on and so forth. So there's a clear cost incentive for them if they can leverage outside identity systems. And then finally, there's the larger issue of security. You know, healthcare already brings this notion of the need for higher value identity, right? I want to make sure that only Nico can access Nico's health information that will be stored on the internet. If Nico now wants to vote online, right, at some point in time, there are huge security concerns about that. You need a much stronger level of authentication. You need a much higher level of identity proofing. Now, how do you get there? You're not going to get there directly, right? You cannot tackle this problem unless you've been able to deal with low level of assurance identities. You've trained the public to use these distributed identities to do things of that are more anonymous and less dangerous in terms of transaction value. To bring the and once the people are walking, right, then they can start running and do things that are more complex that require stronger identity. So to me, that's really the exciting part. I think there's a clear intent to look at identity in a very holistic way, eventually to enable high value and stronger identity, that will protect us against identity theft, among other things, and enable a new type of application. So it's really part of a very, very large initiative, and it's a very rational, a very logical approach. And I think that's really the exciting context there.
No, it does. It makes sense. You put that, self-asserted identity out there first and get people used to using it, and then eventually you add more to it.
There's two things that are very interesting here. First of all is the notion that they need the private sector. I think there are two reasons they need the private sector. I think first, there is so much sensitivity around my identity as a citizen, right? Do I trust the government with a complete identity at this point in time? It's a new concept, right? So really leveraging external trusted third parties that consumers are accustomed to interact with on the internet is a very good idea, right? In terms of bringing the flow of people and bringing the trust to give enough courage to people to experiment, right? So that's one thing. The second thing is around picking open technologies versus creating a new standard, creating a government-driven technology or approach. Basically, looking outside in the private sector, in the public, to see what are the technologies that are having traction and that are based on open standards, that are based on open source technology, so there can be a multiplicity of providers. I think is a very coherent and a very good approach as well.
How long is the pilot scheduled to go? Is there an end date?
Well, the pilot is being announced today, or yesterday was announced yesterday. We're all in beta testing. We're refining, debugging all the interactions. We believe it should be live to the public around September. It should go for several months. I don't have the exact timeline in mind. It will go for several months. We will, the intent there is to measure, to really learn about the, get user feedback on the user experience. Get user feedback in terms of participation and concerns around privacy and security. So it will probably go for several months. And, if we are successful in terms of engaging the public, I think what you'll see is a rapid adoption around many other properties across the government.
Okay. Do you see this eventually, everything goes well and everything's successful, going to some sort of maybe higher assurance identity, where it's not just a self-asserted identity, but it's...
Absolutely. I mean, I think clearly that's the intent. I think this is the crawl, the typical crawl, walk, run exercise. And to me, that's the exciting part, right? Because identity is about enablement, and to enable these other forms of interaction, we're going to need to be really buttoned up in terms of privacy, very important to all of us. We're going to need to be buttoned up in terms of security, and users will have to be trained, right, to use these new services, to understand that new user experience, right, this new paradigm. It's not intuitive. So there's a clear intent there, and I think that's actually a very practical, pragmatic way to get where we all hoped to be a few years from now.
Do you think we'll ever be at a point where there will also be a token or a biometric component to digital identity, or is that kind of too far off in the crystal ball?
I think, it could be an option. Somebody gave me a great example, which is the seatbelt. When you think of security measures, very often they are initially rejected because, they create inconvenience. But over time, the public start taking charge of their security and start understanding they have a real incentive to protect themselves. And to me, the seatbelt is a good example. I remember when the seatbelt, my dad had the seatbelt in his car, but he would never wear the seatbelt in his car. Today, if I try to go somewhere with my kid in the back, there is no way I'm not wearing my seatbelt. The kid will not even let me drive, right, without the seatbelt. So I think that sometimes these things take time, but as people, and actually the very powerful thing about this open ID is this concept of user-centric identity, where the user takes charge of their identity. They are the ones who decide how much they want to disclose, if anything. They are the ones who decide the level of security. And as it becomes possible to have, more interesting types of interaction, a higher value type of interaction, I think they'll get educated in terms of the risk and the need under some circumstances, right? Maybe when you pay, maybe when you vote, which are not, daily events, but infrequent events, to have something that'll protect them, right? And that's where you could see biometry. That's where you could see different form of token. I mean, could be tokens embedded in cell phones, could be tokens embedded in credit cards. It could be out-of-band signaling and code and so on and so forth. But I think the security measures will be much easier to introduce once you have, killer application that drive them, or like healthcare, right? Like voting, right? It's really the application that creates the need for security. And once you have the identity in place, the application will follow, and the application will drive the need for more security and probably the use for higher form of credentialing. I think there are reasons to applaud. From all the things I heard yesterday and the last few days, I think there's a very, very interesting intent here, both as a citizen. This concept of open administration, open participation, I think is a fantastic concept. If it's the Obama's administration so well, it's very consistent with what we heard, during the campaign, obviously. So that, as a citizen, really true reason to be excited. As a technologist, I think it's very exciting for OpenID. I mean, it's a huge recognition. In a sense, it's potentially the first very large relying parties that are being deployed. So far we had seen a lot of companies wanted to be identity providers, but very few large sites saying, I want to be a relying party, I want to accept these identities. This is what we're seeing here. We're seeing, the government saying, we want the government sites to be relying parties and accept external identity. Very exciting if you've been in the identity and security space for years. It's a significant event. Could be a historical event. So, again, as a technologist, I have to applaud. And then finally, last but not least, I think as a very fine employee and as a person who have been working on identity issues at VeriSign and building security and identity services, we feel, I think, particularly privileged and honored to be part of that initiative and being part of that pilot.
Great. Well, Nico, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this latest edition of the Regarding ID podcast.
Well, it was a pleasure, and I hope that a lot of you listeners will register if they don't have an open ID from one of the supporting providers, and they will test the system in September, and then they will drive the success of the pilot.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.